It is a special privilege today to have Dr. Jeffrey Greenway and his wife Beth with us. Beth, we want to meet you. Would you stand and let's give her a big hand? All right. They are the special couple that have been elected to lead us at Asbury Seminary. And we're very excited, we that are connected with Asbury. And you're really connected because Asbury makes possible this Beeson Institute. If we're not for the leadership of our president, Asbury, we wouldn't be able to have this great event. And so we are so thankful in God's providence that a churchman, a man who loves Jesus Christ and reaching people for Christ and has committed his life to the church, a family man, a man who loves pastors, has been elected as our new president. Dr. Dunham is very excited about Jeff's election, and he said to me, you have to quickly get Jeff to the Beeson Institute so he can see what we're doing there, because he'll be a great supporter of that. And it requires that kind of teamwork between myself and the president of Asbury to make all this possible together. And I'm excited about your election, Jeff. Jeff and Beth have three teenagers. That's special in itself. How many of you have three teenagers? I mean, you know, they need a lot of prayer, but they do have a great family. But they're in transition. One of his sons is a senior this year, and so he's an athlete, and that means a tremendous transition for him to move from Pennsylvania to Wilmore, Kentucky. And so say a special prayer for the family when you think about them. Jeff is in transition. Yesterday, he was in a cabinet meeting in Pennsylvania where the bishop is retiring. So for many months, he's pretty much been heading the cabinet up there. Made 14 appointments yesterday. That's a big job. Got on the plane, flew here. And when he leaves here tomorrow, after he brings a devotion, we'll go right to Asbury where we have our trustee meeting. And then this weekend, we'll have a goodbye events for Dr. Dunham, and we move next week right into graduation, and he's all in that moving process. So I think it's really special that in the midst of all of this, that he's come here to be with us, to give us devotions today. Let's give him a great big Beeson welcome. Shall we do that? Jeff, welcome. God bless you, buddy. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
Good morning. It's a joy to be here. A little known secret is that when the Beeson bequest first came to Asbury, the leader of the Beeson program at that time was a classmate of mine. And I was contacted 2 days after I had been appointed to my last congregation in Erie, asking if I'd be interested in being one of the first Beeson pastors. The timing of that just didn't work. Also, this last year, before any of this Asbury stuff came on the radar screen, I had already intended to begin attending Beeson Institute events in preparation for my leaving the cabinet of Western Pennsylvania and going back to pastor what I hope would be a prevailing congregation. So I have a great heart for what's going on here. There are four or five of my friends from Western Pennsylvania here. I'm taking attendance. I'd like to see their hands. In the back row, right there. They did not give me assurance that they would be here with me. I want to share a story with you. First of all, let me share some scripture. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshiped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave this charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I will be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Perhaps you've heard the story of the octogenarian couple who went to see their physician for their annual checkup, and she ran a battery of tests on them and invited them to come back the next week. And as they entered into her office, she said, "I have wonderful news for you. There's nothing remarkable about your tests. You're in perfect shape. I don't need to see you for another year. Do you have any questions for me?" And at that point, the wife of this couple raised her hand and she said, "Doctor, my husband seems to be forgetting things. Is there anything physically wrong with him?" And she said, "Well, he is 84 years old. And as we get older, we tend to begin to forget things from time to time." And she said, "Maybe you ought to write down a list for him when you send him to the grocery store or things like that so that he'll remember the things." And they laughed about that and they said goodbye, made their appointment for the next year. That evening, that couple was seated in their home in their his and her lazy boy thrones, watching the television. And after supper, the husband said, "Honey, I'm getting a little bit hungry. Do you mind if I'm going to go out in the kitchen and get something? Can I get you anything?" And she said, "Yes. I'd like you to get me a bowl of vanilla ice cream." And then she said, "Do you need me to write that down for you? You got to remember this." He said, no, I've got it, vanilla ice cream." And he took a step, and she said, "And I'd like some fresh sliced strawberries on top of that vanilla ice cream. Now, do you need me to write that down for you? That's two things you need to remember." He said, "No, I got it, fresh sliced strawberries, vanilla ice cream." He took another step, and she said, "And I'd like some whipped cream on top of those fresh sliced strawberries on top of that vanilla ice cream. Now, dear, that's three things you need to remember. Do you need me to write that down for you?" And he said, no, I've got it. Ice cream, strawberries, whipped cream. He went out into the kitchen. She became engrossed in her television show. 15 minutes later, after rattling around the kitchen for a long time, he comes walking in with a plate with pancakes and sausage. And she sat down in front of him, or he sat that down in front of her, and she looked at him with bewilderment, and she said, "I knew I should have written that down for you. You forgot my syrup." I told my parents, who were in their late 60s, that story, and my dad said, "Jeff, that's not very funny." The moral of the story is, sometimes we forget what we're about. Sometimes we forget what we're about. I'm a United Methodist pastor. I've been a district superintendent for the last 5 years. Last week, I led our conference's delegation to the General Conference of the United Methodist Church. And one of the startling feelings I have coming away from that conference that Joel Garrett, who's here, and I have talked about, is that I believe that my denomination is in danger of forgetting what it's supposed to be about. I've been a senior pastor of a large membership church. I've been on the staff of a large membership church, and I know that the first temptation of leadership is to forget what we're about. This scripture, this is the marching order of Jesus about what we're to be about. There are three quick pieces to this scripture. The first thing that we're about is to find people who live far away from God and introduce them to Him through Jesus. Lost people matter to God. And I know that when you're running a staff and when you're dealing with all those conflicts that we've heard never occur on staffs and you're dealing with interpersonal stuff that sometimes we can lose sight of the big picture. This happened to me and I was reminded of this one time. My wife and I went to a Mexican restaurant near the University of Pittsburgh. How many of you have been near a major university campus in the recent past? There is a different breed of humanity that lives there. And one of them was our waitress. She came to take our order in this restaurant, and she was a sight to behold. She had tri-colored hair, fluorescent purple and fluorescent orange and fluorescent green. And she had no less than 7 or 8 different facial piercings. Kind of reminded me of a cartoon I'd seen in one of my wife's magazines. And it was this young guy with about 15 of those on his face standing at a fishing tackle counter talking to an old gentleman behind the counter. And the old gentleman said, "Now, exactly where were you when the tackle box exploded?" She came and took our order. She was very pleasant, but as she walked away, I said something to my wife and the missionary friend who was at lunch with us. I said, "Well, somebody's mother's very proud." And at that point, our missionary friend reached her hand out and put her hand on my shoulder. And she said, "Jeff, do lost people matter to God?"